Up the kind you want on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. I am the agent for truth, Joe Bannister, your host. It's Saturday morning, November 20th, 2010, and it's my honor and privilege to be with you, and I thank you for joining me this morning. You're hearing my voice either via Frank Talk 104.3 FM or worldwide on the internet, courtesy of Liberty Works Radio Network. We rely on you to not only let your friends and neighbors know that Liberty Works Radio Network is here working for you every day to put an end to tyranny, but also to support the network by visiting lwrn.net and clicking on the Join Donate button in the upper left-hand corner of the homepage. If you're already a listener and supporter, you already know that Liberty Works Radio Network brings you radio programming you will not hear anywhere else. Given the many blessings God has bestowed upon our country, I dedicate every show to our Father in Heaven, so I always start the show by praying as Jesus instructed us in Matthew chapter 6. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Well, my listeners, and certainly listeners to the Liberty Works Radio Network, are well aware our country is in deep trouble, and I urge everyone to fervently pray for God's blessings on our country. Let's redouble our efforts to obey His commandments, especially refraining from taking the Lord's name in vain. And I always encourage listeners to keep a paper and pen handy, and you can copy down important information that we try to give out during the show. Today you all have a standing invitation to join the show with a question or comment by calling 410-848-9191. That's 410-848-9191. That's not a toll-free, well, that is a toll-free number, so keep that in mind. For the benefit of new listeners, I am a former special agent with the Internal Revenue Service Criminal Investigation Division. IRS special agents are armed federal criminal investigators who investigate federal tax and money laundering laws. I no longer work as an IRS special agent because during the last 2 years of my service there at the agency, I performed an off-duty investigation into allegations that the federal income tax laws did not actually require most Americans to file federal income tax returns and pay federal income tax, and that the IRS was actually deceiving the American public about their true income tax obligations. After gathering and analyzing a great deal of evidence, I concluded that these allegations about the federal income tax system were largely true. When I asked my IRS supervisors to discuss my concerns with me, they not only refused to have any discussions with me, but they also encouraged me to resign from the agency. And so my IRS career came to an end rather abruptly in 1999 when I did resign from the agency, and I've been speaking about my experiences and conclusions regarding the federal income tax and other liberty-related matters ever since. I'm featured in a film called America Freedom to Fascism, a film that takes a provocative look at the Federal Reserve and federal income tax and proves how those systems are destroying America. I highly recommend watching this film as soon as possible, You can find it on any search engine by typing in America Freedom to Fascism into the search box, or you can go to freedomtofascism.com to purchase your own copy. There are three principal websites where you can learn more about me and my work. Those sites are freedomabovefortune.com, agentfortruth.com, and josephbannister.com. I'm from the Nonconformist Bannisters, so we only have one N in our last name, as opposed to the Bannisters you've met who have two. I invite you to join my email list by visiting my website at freedomabovefortune.com. You can click on mailing list on the left-hand side of the homepage. And so this week, I wanted to talk about the Transportation Security Administration. That's commonly known to air travelers as TSA. And I thought that might be appropriate, especially given a couple things. First of all, the Thanksgiving weekend is coming up, and of course there's a great deal of travel as people go to see their relatives. And also an event that's going to be happening during that time calling National Opt-Out Day, which I'm going to be talking about later. But let's first start with how the TSA describes itself. The TSA's mission statement is as follows, quote, "The Transportation Security Administration protects the nation's transportation systems to ensure freedom of movement for people and commerce," unquote. TSA website also makes the claim, quote, "We are your neighbors, friends, and relatives. We are 50,000 security officers, inspectors, directors, air marshals, and managers who protect the nation's transportation systems so you and your family can travel safely. We look for bombs at checkpoints and airports. We inspect rail cars. We patrol subways with our law enforcement partners. And we work to make all modes of transportation safe," unquote. Well, TSA also claims to promote a culture based on the values of integrity, innovation, and team spirit. And within the integrity category, TSA claims that they are a people of integrity who respect and care for others and protect the information that they handle, that they're a people who conduct themselves in an honest, trustworthy, and ethical manner at all times. They are a people who gain strength from the diversity in their culture. And under the innovation category, the TSA claims that they are a people who embrace and stand ready for change. They are a people who are courageous and willing to take on new challenges. And they are a people with an enterprising spirit, striving for innovations, who accept the risk-taking that comes with it. And then under the team spirit category, TSA claims there are people who are open, respectful, and dedicated to making others better. There are people who have passion for challenge, success, and being on a winning team. And they also are people who will build teams around their strengths. So there's a summary in the TSA's own words as to how TSA views itself and its mission. So I'm wondering how accurate and realistic is the TSA's view of itself, and how closely is TSA adhering to its mission? Well, if they are adhering to that mission, you certainly can't tell from the public's reaction. An informal poll by one of NBC's New York City affiliates indicated that 75% of the respondents were furious. That's a quote, furious, that body scanners were scheduled for installation at three New York and New Jersey airports. And that's New York and New Jersey, right near Ground Zero. Another poll, an online Reuters poll, indicated that 96% of Reuters readers said they would change their travel plans to avoid invasive body scans and pat-downs. And I'm also questioning, you might too, does TSA promote a culture based on values of integrity, innovation, and team spirit that I described earlier? Well, with regard to integrity and respecting and caring for others, I don't know if you heard about a gentleman named Sean Shanahan. Last March, the Boston Herald reported that Shanahan, a TSA agent at Boston Logan International Airport, was charged with multiple child sex crimes targeting an underage girl. How about that innovation value? Well, it was recently reported by CBS News that the TSA would be blocking its employees from viewing websites containing controversial opinions. Also back in 2006, it was reported by a former FAA special agent. Now, the FAA, just like the IRS and all these other federal agencies, have special agents who are criminal investigators. So they would be the ones, you know, with the badge and the gun, just like I used to do, but working for the Federal Aviation Administration. Anyway, this former special agent, Brian Sullivan, said that the Transportation Security Administration is designating many documents as sensitive security information. The acronym for that is SSI. And they're designating many documents as sensitive security information, not to protect national security, but rather to hide the TSA's own negligence, incompetence, and potential liability. Now, doesn't that sound like innovation to you? How about that good old team spirit value? Is that a value that is put into practice at the TSA? Well, apparently not in Miami. You may have heard about the Miami TSA agent who back in May assaulted his TSA coworkers who joked about the size of his genitals. According to Miami-Dade police reports, a group of TSA agents were training together to learn how to operate the new body scanner machines, and a TSA agent named Rolando Negrin apparently drew the short straw, no pun intended, and had to be the agent to go through the body scanner while the other agents evaluated the image. According to the reports, and I quote, "The x-ray revealed that Rolando has a small penis and coworkers made fun of him on a daily basis." So how did Rolando and his coworkers, all schooled by the TSA to be, quote, "open, respectful, and dedicated to making others better," unquote, how did they resolve this little harassment scenario amongst themselves? Well, Rolando is alleged to have waited until one evening in May when he confronted his fellow TSA screener, Hugo Osorno, and he confronted him in an airport parking lot. Rolando's intention, according to the report, was to, quote, "resolve a problem," unquote, and get Osorno, age 34, to, quote, "finally respect him," unquote. So how did Rolando accomplish acquiring this respect? Well, again, according to the reports, he allegedly pulled out a police baton and began striking Osorno while demanding an apology. And a witness even told the cops that Rolando told Osorno in Spanish, quote, "get on your knees or I will kill you and you better apologize," unquote. So, what after listening to those little events, what do you think the TSA's track record is in dealing with the traveling public? You can see how they on occasion treat themselves, and you have to wonder, you know, question, is this whole TSA thing being blown out of proportion? But I'd like you to listen to a it's a clip of a radio talk show host named Owen J.J. Stone, and he's known to his fans as O-Docta. He had an interesting experience going through the TSA checkpoint, and I think we're probably going to have a break, and that's going to cut into that, so I think we'll play it when I come back from the break. But I'm hoping that as you travel, those of you who are going to travel by air coming up next week, you're going to be watching out for some delays. There's an event called National Opt-Out Day, and it's basically seems to be an answer to all of this TSA tyranny that the traveling public has been experiencing. And I think it's just kind of reached a boiling point. People have been relatively calm and quiet, and they've just about had enough. So when we come back, we'll play a clip about this radio talk show host and his experience with the TSA. This is the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, the agent for truth, and we'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for joining us.
This is the morning program on the radio all over the country, the great WABC in New York and the Fox Business Network, and a new affiliate, WIFL 104.3, Frank Talk 104.3, news, sports, and more.
Glenn Beck.
Frank Talk
104.3. Best-selling author, Mark Levin.
That's what we call crap. Get off the phone, you big dope.
Frank Talk 104. News, sports, and more.
Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala holds a reputation for the most outstanding sales and service to their customers. This reputation was earned over the years by keeping their promises and taking care of people. It was true then, and it's true now. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to ensure you the easiest and most satisfying vehicle purchase or service you'll ever experience while delivering the highest value for the money. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to have access to over 850 new Fords and Lincoln Mercurys to provide a wide selection of new cars and trucks, which means large savings for their customers. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to have you the lowest price and payment in writing guaranteed in 15 minutes or less. Visit their dealerships on Highway 441 in Ocala and Bellevue to see for yourself the distinctive advantage in making your next vehicle purchase from the dealership that pledges to ensure the best buying experience anywhere. You can also shop at home at fordofocala.com for selection and service specials that is constantly updated. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala, where they pledge every day is a sale day and the traffic's not bad at all.
Remember the good old days when you'd go to the neighborhood butcher, he'd cut the meat fresh, right on the slab. You'd ask him for a steak cut a special way, he'd cut it. You're looking for some homemade sausage, and you'd get it. Chopped meat, right out of the grinder. Well, Bellevue Meats is the place to go. Their number is 347-2102. They're located in Bellevue, right on 441. For meat the old-fashioned way, Bellevue Meats.
God, Guts, and Guns made America free. And here at Gold Diggers and Gunslingers, we know how important it is to keep all three. Now, we know you got your God and Guts, but we can help you with the guns. Lots of guns. Any kind of gun you want, or need, or desire. Small guns, big guns, pistols, rifles, shotguns. Guns for self-defense, guns to hunt with, guns to target shoot with. We've got the guns, lots of guns. Pre-owned guns, brand new guns. Semi-automatic, single shot, from .38 special to .50 caliber guns. We got the guns at Gold Diggers and Gunslingers. At great prices, discounted prices. You're not going to beat these prices anywhere. At Gold Diggers and Gunslingers in Inverness. Oh, and don't forget the ammo. We got lots of ammo. We'll keep you in ammo. Ammo for all your guns. Load up. It's hunting season. We got your hunting guns. It's on sale now. Gold Diggers and Gunslingers. Right next to Sherwin-Williams. Gulf to Lake Highway, Inverness. And we salute you. God bless America.
At Frank Talk 104.3 FM, we bring the worldwide resources of CBS, ABC, and Fox News to your home, work, or car. No matter where you are, you can always count on the Frank Talk 104.3 FM news team to keep you informed. When weather gets severe, turn to the news, sports, and more station, Frank Talk 104.3 FM, for complete weather updates. At Frank Talk 104.3 FM, you can count on dependable weather information, keeping your family safe from the storm. Frank Talk 104.3 FM. Count on it. The Glenn Beck Show, weekdays from 9 to noon on Frank Talk 104.3 FM. The biggest morning show in the Mid-State, Man Cow in the Morning, on Frank Talk 104.3 FM. Your home for NFL football is Frank Talk 104.3 FM. No matter where you are, you can always count on the Frank Talk 104.3 FM news team to keep you informed. Frank Talk 104.3 FM. Count on it.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, the agent for truth. AgentForTruth.com, FreedomAboveFortune.com, and JosephBannister.com. Well, in the second hour, we're going to have an attorney, Larry Beecraft. I've had him as a guest a number of times. Usually we'll talk about the tax issue, but Larry also has expertise in many areas, including TSA jurisdiction and authority. So please stick around for the second hour, and we'll hear an expert talk to us about what exactly the TSA can and can't do, at least from a legal perspective. I think it might be up to us, the people, to police the TSA, because there's plenty of events that we've seen, both within the TSA and without, of kind of abuse that they apparently don't seem to know the law very well. And they don't seem to have much in terms of morals and ethics. I mean, to joke about someone in that manner and keep on harassing him, this Rolando Negrin, what a sad state of affairs. And then for him to have to respond with a police baton, I mean, these people really need some training. And it's not diversity training that they need. Anyway, I was suggesting before the break that we would play this clip from Owen J.J. Stone describing his own experience with the TSA. He'll describe himself. He's a very big man, and that had something to do with the way that he was searched. So let's listen to Owen J.J. Stone talk about his TSA experience.
What you have to say is I opt out, and then they give you a pat-down search.
And if we all did it,
air traffic would stop.
Well, listen.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
When I just flew here this weekend, I wore the same sweatpants I wore last week to go to L.A. This weekend when I came in, he's like, oh, they just changed the rules this week. Do you want a private screening or do you want us to pat you down out here? And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, do you want us to take you in the back room or do you want us to do it out here? What does it entail? I have to go in your waistband, put my hand down your pants. I'm like, do it out here. And I stood in front of everybody, and
What's the alternative? Can I go through a machine?
No, the alternative is for him to go in the back room and pat.
He's going to put his hands down your pants no matter what?
He did, yes. And I said, I'd rather have him do it out here in public because just what Brian said. He's already ashamed to do it, and I feel like he's not going to go as
deep.
When
did this happen?
This weekend.
They're required to put their hands down your pants?
They just changed the rule. Well, he put his hands on his hands.
Wait a minute.
Now they grab your neck. They don't necessarily pull it.
This is the new TSA line.
Is that you have to get
if you're wearing
frisked.
Sweatpants or baggy clothing.
Oh, baggy clothing.
I was wearing sweatpants. They're not baggy. They're sweatpants. He put his hand. This is my waistband.
Because I got to tell you, if I have to get somebody's hand down my pants, I'm not flying.
Ran his hand around the ring of my waistband and then patted the front and then patted my butt and then in my crotch.
And you know, it's all security theater. It does absolutely nothing.
That's the part that kills me, is that for all of the federalization, for all of this giant bureaucracy, for the $5 that you have to pay for every single flight, going and coming back everywhere you go, we get not one percentage point bump.
Insecurity.
And the guy was embarrassed to do it. He says sorry like five times. He's like, I'm sorry.
Excuse me. That does not give them the right to violate our civil rights.
Thomas Molman of Missouri City says he was treated like a criminal and claims a TSA officer touched him inappropriately during an invasive pat-down. It happened, he says, at the Fort Lauderdale, Florida airport.
Put his hand in between my underwear and my skin. You know, and did a 360 all the way around, touching certain sensitive points in the back and the front.
Molman is not alone, and the backlash is growing. Travelers are so fed up, they're taking a stand. On November 24th, the day before Thanksgiving, one of the busiest travel days of the year, passengers are being encouraged to avoid body scanners and participate in National Opt-Out Day, There's even a website promoting it.
This is very difficult. I don't know how people, how people can travel anymore because a lot of problems are there.
Some pilots' unions are even advising their members to skip the full body scans. The issue has even reportedly led to lawsuits.
Visit Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com.
Well, that's a clip by Owen J. Stone, as well as another gentleman explaining his experience with the TSA. I don't know about you, but I've traveled now and then, and it's having been in law enforcement before and having searched people who are under arrest, average people who are not under arrest. There's no probable cause to be searching them. It's just madness as far as I'm concerned. I really don't know why the public puts up with it, but it appears that people are starting to fight back. But I would also like to talk about, is the TSA really concerned with security? They're searching people as if every single person that comes through that line could be the one with the bomb, in their genitals between their legs. And is that really, are they really concerned with security from all angles? According to Judicial Watch, the watchdog agency or watchdog group, they wrote back in December of 2009 an article claiming that TSA clears illegal immigrants to work at New York airports. I'm going to read some of the article here. This is, again, from the Judicial Watch. They're a watchdog group that got that do FOIA requests, Freedom of Information Act, and they're able to gather a great deal of internal government documents to prove their case. And so the article begins, "In the latest of many shameful lapses, the federal agency in charge of securing the nation's transportation system approved background checks for a dozen illegal immigrants working in sensitive areas of a busy U.S. airport. The illegal aliens from Central America and Mexico worked in operational areas of Stewart International Airport, a 2,400-acre facility located about 60 miles north of New York City. Stewart is a major passenger airport for the state's mid-Hudson region that also handles large quantities of cargo and served as a military field." Now, again, this is from the group Judicial Watch, who uncovered evidence that a dozen illegal aliens were actually hired by TSA and working for TSA. The article continues, "The illegal aliens all had security badges approved by the Transportation Security Administration, the agency created after the 2001 terrorist attacks, mainly to protect airlines. The TSA's national background check failed to detect the fake Social Security numbers and other bogus documents provided by the illegal immigrants to obtain clearance." And this article by Judicial Watch continues, "So the embattled 43,000-member Homeland Security Agency, which has received hundreds of millions of dollars from Congress to fulfill its mission, granted the undocumented aliens trusted agent, that's a quote, trusted agent security badges. This allowed them to work at an airport warehouse business and access key operational areas. An alert airport employee noticed the suspicious documents and reported the illegal aliens. This sort of negligence," and this is the article from Judicial Watch continuing, "this sort of negligence is par for the course for the TSA, which has come under fire in recent years for leaving airplanes extremely vulnerable to terrorist attacks. Just last month, the Department of Homeland Security Inspector General revealed that the TSA is failing to ensure the security of tens of thousands of cargo packages transported daily in the bellies of passenger planes, leaving aircraft at risk of a terrorist attack." And the article by Judicial Watch continues, "That probe also found that workers who handle the cargo had not received the required background checks or training, further adding to the security crisis. Previous Inspector General probes have, over the years, revealed similar problems in the TSA's dismal air cargo security system and exposed dozens of security failures in other crucial areas nationwide. Now, you have to ask yourself, the TSA will grope and search the heck out of every single passenger that comes through there. But yet the cargo and the people that load the cargo and the people that are out in the tarmac and the people that are in the warehouses are apparently not checked, or not checked very well. And of course, this is information that was found through FOIA requests and through detailed investigation. And as that Judicial Watch article said, it wouldn't have even been discovered were it not for a vigilant airport employee that was working there and saw something suspicious. So the TSA didn't see anything suspicious in hiring these 12 illegal aliens. And it's not like it was just one. I mean, they made the mistake 12 times. So as far as I'm concerned, the TSA is just... it leaves much to be desired. Now, the question is anybody else besides me or you out there doing anything to stop this madness? Well, thankfully, there are people who are. For one group, the airline pilots are fighting back. Captain Dave Bates, the president of the Allied Pilots Association, which represents 11,000 American Airlines pilots, urged his fellow pilots to reject the body scanners. And the reasons he gave should give cause to every air traveler, because he commented about the radiation that emanates from these body scanner machines. So not only are the TSA employees who are working directly with the machines at risk, but think of the traveling public, whether you go through the scanner just once or twice a year, or you're a frequent traveler who may pass through those scanners once a week. So not only the complaint that the body scanners have this X-ray radiation, but of course all of the privacy concerns. And which interesting comment from the pilots is that they are authorized to get on a plane. And they, some of the pilots even have guns in the cockpit. Okay, and these same people then are subject to searches of their groin and their waistband and their ankles. And you would think that somebody that was authorized to get in a plane at the controls and literally turn that plane into a missile would be trusted enough to come through a security gate. So it's really bizarre that, and thankfully these pilots are pushing back and they're saying this is ridiculous. And I think it's that was an impetus to cause the traveling public to even say, look, you know, yes, the pilots, this is ridiculous to be searching them in this manner, but we, the traveling public, have constitutional rights that are being violated, and we're not going to stand for it. And again, in the second hour, I'm going to have attorney Larry Beecraft, who's going to discuss that very issue. Now, there's also flight attendant unions who have decided that they're going to fight back as well. And I'd like to play that clip as well and let you hear what the flight attendants have decided to do.
Now, growing controversy over those full body scanners over the airport. U.S. Airways Pilot Union is telling members not to go through them because of radiation exposure being a health risk. The union president says pilots should avoid checkpoints using the back scatter machines or opt for a full body pat down instead. But those pat downs are causing problems too. ABC 15's Christopher Sine explains the hassle passed on to you when flight crews choose to skip the scanners.
After over 3 hours, where they finally were able to get another flight attendant to come in to take her place.
It's a wait a valley man says ruined his travel plans.
She felt that she was groped, and I guess supposedly she filed a claim
Les Johnson missed his connecting flight after he says a flight attendant didn't want to deal with the new pat-down process.
We're getting calls daily about people's experiences.
Deborah Volp says the local chapter of the flight attendants union is being flooded with complaints.
They actually make contact with the genital area.
She makes it clear security is the priority.
Our office was used as murder weapons.
The union is telling flight attendants who opt out of the body scanner to ask for a private screening with a witness.
We don't want them in uniform going through this enhanced screening where, you know, their private areas are being touched in public.
Thing is, those private screenings could delay your flight.
If it happens to delay things, it happens to delay things.
She says the intention is not to cause delays, and now some flight attendants are planning to sue.
They have contacted the ACLU. We don't know if somebody may have had an experience with, you know, a sexual assault.
Well, there's what the pilots union and the flight attendants are doing about this, and hope that the American people will do something as well. You're listening to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, your host. Our guest in the next hour will be attorney Larry Beecraft. We have one more segment in this hour. Thank you for joining me. We'll be right back.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lori London. Finding closure in Afghanistan, it appears NATO leaders are on the same page as they whittle away a way forward at a NATO summit in Portugal. Fox Radio's Alistair Wanklin is live in Lisbon.
That's right, Laurie. NATO nations agreeing to hand over Afghan security from next year, but...
if the Taliban or anyone else aims to wait us out, they can forget it.
NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen saying training is the ticket to transition 4 years from now. But a senior Obama administration official has just been quoted saying no decision has yet been taken on ending the combat mission. Laurie?
Alistair, new airport screening procedures continue rubbing some the wrong way. Some travelers even organizing an opt-out day on Wednesday to try to slow down the holiday rush. But not every passenger has a problem with it.
How can you possibly live in this country and have gone through 9/11 and not say this is a good thing?
Pilots have been given a reprieve. They'll just have to present photo IDs. Gas levels and risk of a second explosion still keeping rescuers out of a coal mine in New Zealand where 29 men are still missing.
All day today, they've been carrying out tests on the quality of the air within the mine. They've been checking to see whether carbon monoxide levels are going to be decreasing sufficiently to allow them to start sending people in to look for the 29 miners. But those readings have not given them any hope of encouragement.
Sky News reporter Ian Woods' repeated attempts to make contact have been fruitless. Well, the manhunt continues for a suspect in the shooting of a Utah Parks police officer near Moab, Utah. Officials say they found the gunman's car and they believe he fled on foot. They're now searching in a rugged canyon along the Colorado River. The wounded officer is in critical condition. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
What's wrong with working hard to make our lives and our kids' lives better? Nothing. At Fox Business, we don't have a problem with success. We have a very big problem with those who get in the way of it. We don't come out of the box bashing those who make money, just the politicians stealing it and the bureaucracies wasting it. We're not just sitting behind a desk. We're out in the field, on the floor, with the folks. Because when a story moves forward, so do we.
Fox Business, the power to prosper. Check your local listings.
As Americans, no matter what our faith, we have faith in our country. A country where our freedoms are blessed, cherished, and protected. Where we believe life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are our inalienable rights. Rights endowed by our Creator. We are not afraid to believe. Our beliefs unite us as a people and as a nation. They allow us to move forward.
Toyota's efforts to get some lawsuits dropped stall.
The federal judge handling lawsuits against Toyota from owners who claim the cars have sudden acceleration defects has refused to dismiss the cases. Toyota says the plaintiffs haven't proved that a design defect is responsible for the vehicles taking off unexpectedly. However, the judge, in a tentative ruling, says the lawsuits can move forward and he expects to issue a final ruling within a week. Over the past year, Toyota has recalled millions of cars for floor mat, gas pedal, and brake software issues. Jennifer Kuiper, Fox News Radio.
Fundamental to national security, how the president describes the need for a nuclear arms reduction deal with Russia and scolding Republicans for stalling.
There's enough gridlock, enough bickering. If there is one issue that should unite us, as Republicans and Democrats, it should be our national security.
The president in his weekly address, but Republicans have their attention on soon-to-expire Bush-era tax cuts.
Time is running out, but it's not too late for both parties to work together and prevent this massive tax hike from going into effect.
Senator Mitch McConnell with a weekly GOP address accusing Democrats of wasting time. In the foreclosure fiasco, an Illinois sheriff who halted evictions a month ago forced to resume them.
Cook County Sheriff Tom Dark got a lot of attention last month when he stopped carrying out evictions after it surfaced that bank employees hadn't been following proper procedures, and in some cases there had been so-called robo-signing of notices by bank employees who hadn't bothered to read the paperwork. Well, now Dart says he's been told by prosecutors that he's legally bound to carry out eviction orders signed by a judge. He says fine, but it'll be done in a thoughtful way, that he's still investigating bank action. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Well, an overbearing mom in the kitchen could produce overweight kids. That's from a new study in the Journal of the American Dietetic Association, which finds mothers who pressure their children to eat more may end up with more fussy eaters. I'm Lori London, Fox News Radio.
Frank Talk, 104.3 FM, the Mid-State News Talk and Sports Radio Station.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, the Agent for Truth, your host, agentfortruth.com, freedomabovefortune.com. We have a caller, someone who called in on the 410-848-9191 call-in line. That's 410-848-9191. Mike is joining us. Mike, how are you today?
Good morning, Joe. Great to hear you live here in Florida.
Thanks. And, thanks very much.
And I looked your name up, Googled you, and I don't think people realize how important it is to have a guy like you on the air. I mean, I don't hear it anywhere in the country. I mean, this, and I know you don't talk about it a lot, but you're former criminal investigator of the Internal Revenue Service. I mean, you were the enemy of the patriot community and constitutionalists until you educated yourself, and it's phenomenal. And then you're on here talking about issues that most talk show hosts just have opinions of when you were the guy. You were the man. And if I go on the air and give an opinion to someone, I'm just a dopey guy with an opinion. You were part of the system. And you're talking about this. And I also noticed, I think you're the number one guy on the Southern Poverty Law Center's hit list, which means you got to be doing something right, because that's a communist organization. But is it,
I'm only number two, Mike. I'm only number two.
You're number two? I thought you were number one.
Well,
come on, man. You got to work harder. But I'd like you to talk about that one day, maybe the Southern Poverty Law Center, that communist infiltrating group, and how you made number two on their hit list. And I just have a question for you regarding the TSA and fascism that's taking place in America. Where do you, as a former criminal investigative agent of the Internal Revenue Service, see this going? And how important is it for Americans just to say no? I'm not going into your boxcar. I'm not taking your licenses, your privileges. I'm not going through your scanner. If you touch my body, I'm going to punch you in your face and go before a jury and see if they'll find me guilty. And then I'm going to sue you. But I'm going to become a man again, because American men are, you know, they become little wimps and wussies, especially when they get married. They get neutered with their damn marriage license. But how important is it for them to say, no, dear, I am not allowing you or our children to go through the scanner and be touched. And listen, buddy, you touch them, I'm going to punch you in your face, and then we'll deal with it afterwards. And if a million travelers this Wednesday punch these people in their faces, it's over. And I don't mean literally just punch. I mean punch them in their face by saying, no, I'm not going to participate in your system. What's your opinion on this?
Well, I'm glad you pointed that out. That you're talking about a figurative punch in the face, because really you can get a lot more mileage out of a nonviolent manner of resistance. So you make a very good point. As far as you know, the ways that the TSA seems to harken back memories for me of the IRS. It's mission creep, the same kind of mission creep that the income tax has experienced. You know, people, hardly anyone was alive back in the early 1900s to see what the income tax was actually supposed to tax at that time, what income was and who was liable to pay it. And then over the years, over the decades, as people die off and people's knowledge about their rights and the limits of the government, those people die off, then the new people come in, the young people, and they don't know that there's these same limitations. And so now we have an agency, the IRS, that basically says we can tax anything we want, and you better shut up, open your checkbook, and write us a check. And that's where the TSA is going to go. Look how far they've gone so far in just this short amount of time that they've even been in existence.
Well,
so,
can Americans figure out that how can not be doing something be a crime? And our republic, based on common law, isn't doing something a crime, punching someone, stealing their property, hurting them. How could not doing something be a crime? If not doing something is a crime, you're a slave. I mean, I don't care what laws you pass. If you're going to imprison me or threaten me or steal my stuff because I didn't do something, I'm a slave. It's like, you know, while I'm still at home with mommy and daddy, you didn't clean your room. You didn't come out. What? How do we slide this far in the slippery slope where we have, you know, I was talking to someone the other day, and we were dealing with this issue of, because the federal income tax is just social redistribution of the wealth, or it's just a way to sop up the water in the soup. The government doesn't need that money to run. It's just a consumption controller, if you really look at it, because all of our monetary system is evidence of debt or monetized debt. It's an intangible object of fraud. But that aside, he said, well, how are we going to ruin the country? And I said, it's Sunday. How's the country running now? What do you mean? I said, what do you mean? What do I mean? There are no federal workers right now. How's the country running? And yeah, and what do you mean by running the country? He goes, how are we going to run the country? What do you mean running? Running what? The federal government is authorized to do four things and four things only. That's it.
Well,
so you know what, Joe? You get into a system now where 60% of the American people have their hand out. They are criminals. They're accepting something from the federal, state, or local government. And even Socialist Security recipients that put down welfare recipients, they don't understand, and I'd like you to talk about that, how Social Security is an entitlement program and is welfare, and there is no Social Security lockbox or fund, and it's paid in as FICA, another income tax. So,
well, the points you bring up are good, because but I think it illustrates what I was saying about mission creep and about, as each generation passes away, the new generation knows that much less about what their rights are and what the limits to the government are. And so then we get into the propagandized messages, like how will the government run and you need to pay your fair share, and that's what the American public relies upon, rather than their knowledge that they gain from their parents and their schooling, that we have a constitution, we have a representative republic. The government is put into a box, a very small box, based on those constitutional limitations. And then that has been turned on its head to where now the average person in the public is just saying, you know, hey, I need to pay my fair share, or if you don't pay your taxes, you go to jail, or, you know, those are the kinds of Pavlovian dog reflexes that the TSA is looking for people to do. Raise your hands, spread your feet apart, spread your cheeks. You know, I mean,
well,
isn't it
all basically conditioning you, like you said, Pavlov's dog? It's all conditioning the American people to obey orders, obey like little dogs and little sheep. So in your case, I want to know how you had the epiphany that what happened in your life, having everything to look forward to, where you decided, I'm not going to engage in this criminal activity. Thank God for Talk Radio and Liberty Works that is enlightening people. This is a process, and I tell people it took 200 years to get here. We're not going to return to our constitutional republic overnight. It comes with education. And the government institutions of lower learning, they're called public schools, are continually brainwashing the children on this Marxism or Leninism or socialism. You know, the other day, Joe, I heard, and I want your comment on what the difference between rights and privileges, and the other day I heard someone talking about, you know, and it may have been Soros, but if Marxism were implemented correctly and Leninism. And what they don't understand is Marx and Lenin were two sick perverts. I think one died of a venereal disease, and the other one was mentally ill. So why would they even teach a philosophy of a pervert who died of a venereal disease and the other one that was mentally ill? You know, I think about these things and say, how far are we on that slippery slope? But you're doing a great job. Thank you, and I'll be listening.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Thanks for calling in. Well, I mean, it brings up a lot of great points. You know, what I see here, especially having been a federal agent for 5.5 years, is basically the Sovietization of America. And there's a tale, being the elites and the people that, you know, drive the media and drive the corporate structure. That's the tale. And the dog is all the people. And the tail is wagging the dog. So we need to rise up and recognize that this country ran absolutely fine for over 100 years before the federal income tax even came into being, and that especially since World War II, you can see this steady and rapid erosion of our rights, of rights that our founding documents say were given to us as a gift by the Creator, by our Father in Heaven. And so some entity out there, some group of people, thinks that they're above Almighty God and that somehow they're going to tell us what rights we do and don't have, when, as our founding documents acknowledge, Almighty God has given us these rights as a gift, and they are also inalienable. So what I'd like to do, kind of missed out on a couple clips, but Mike, that was a very good call from Mike, generated some good issues for people to think about, some food for thought. And again, in the second hour, coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to have attorney Larry Beecraft, who's going to talk about the TSA and what their limitations are. So I would like to play a clip. There's a talk show host named Adam Kokesh, and he's got a fairly quick video about National Opt-Out Day, and I think that it's pretty cool. So, you know, even though you're only listening to the audio, it's still pretty cool. So have a listen.
With explosive growth of government power comes corresponding loss of liberty. The Transportation Security Administration has recently implemented advanced imaging technology and disturbing standards for pat-downs. These naked body scanners use backscatter x-rays and millimeter waves to see through your clothes, creating an image of your naked body that is stored digitally. Studies have shown that radiation from the x-ray scanners increases the risk of skin cancer, especially in children. To make matters worse, TSA background checks do not effectively prevent rapists and child molesters from being in a position to look at body scans or perform pat-downs on your kids. If you must fly, your only choice is to opt out. You will then be subjected to a new kind of pat-down in which TSA agents have been instructed to feel the inside of your thigh from bottom to top until they meet resistance, as well as use fingers to feel directly around breasts. TSA agents have stated that the purpose of the pat-down is to embarrass passengers into accepting the scanners. They want you to submit, and they are lying to you when they tell you that these procedures make you safer. This November 24th, National Opt-Out Day, we draw the line. If every passenger asked to go through a body scanner on one of the busiest travel days of the year chose to opt out, the TSA would have to abandon the scanners. This may be the point at which our government has gone too far. When will you put your foot down? When will you stand up? Opt out on November 24th and every time you fly.
Sir, go ahead.
That was a little presentation by Adam Kokesh about the National Opt-Out Day, which is scheduled for November 24th. And so I'll probably get another chance in the next hour, but I want to warn everybody who is getting on an airplane next weekend that whether or not you're participating in this national opt-out day, probably going to be some delays. People are really fed up with this, and if you haven't traveled in a while, you may be surprised at what the TSA is doing to people now, and why, you shouldn't be surprised as to why people are upset about it. And so it's become quite a news story. If you want to find out more about National Opt-Out Day, whether or not you plan to participate, you can go to www.optoutday.com. That's OPTOUTDAY, National Opt-Out Day. It's a fairly simple website there, but it does, give you some idea about what's going on. I imagine there'll be some people who don't even know about National Opt-Out Day, but when they see what the TSA has prepared for them in terms of searches, they're going to resist. So anyway, in the next hour, we're going to have attorney Larry Becraft to talk about the limited authority of the TSA and their jurisdiction, and should be a great opportunity. The call in number, 410-848-9191, 410-848-9191. See you next hour.
Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala holds a reputation for the most outstanding sales and service to their customers. This reputation was earned over the years by keeping their promises and taking care of people. It was true then, and it's true now. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to ensure you the easiest and most satisfying vehicle purchase or service you'll ever experience while delivering the highest value for the money. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to have access to over 850 new Fords and Lincoln Mercurys to provide a wide selection of new cars and trucks, which means large savings for their customers. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to have you the lowest price and payment in writing guaranteed in 15 minutes or less. Visit their dealerships on Highway 441 in Ocala and Bellevue to see for yourself the distinctive advantage in making your next vehicle purchase from the dealership that pledges to ensure the best buying experience anywhere. You can also shop at home at fordofocala.com for selection and service specials that is constantly updated. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala, where they pledge every day is a sale day and the traffic's not bad at all.
God, Guts, and Guns made America free. And here at Gold Diggers and Gunslingers, we know how important it is to keep all three. Now, we know you got your God and Guts, but we can help you with the guns. Lots of guns. Any kind of gun you want, or need, or desire. Small guns, big guns, pistols, rifles, shotguns. Guns for self-defense, guns to hunt with, guns to target shoot with. We've got the guns, lots of guns. Pre-owned guns, brand new guns. Semi-automatic, single shot, from .38 special to .50 caliber guns. We got the guns at Gold Diggers and Gunslingers. At great prices, discounted prices. You're not going to beat these prices anywhere. At Gold Diggers and Gunslingers in Inverness. Oh, and don't forget the ammo. We got lots of ammo. We'll keep you in ammo. Ammo for all your guns. Load up. It's hunting season. We got your hunting guns. It's on sale now. Gold Diggers and Gunslingers. Right next to Sherwin-Williams. Gulf to Lake Highway, Inverness. And we salute you. God bless America.
Mobile One Lube Express, formerly Shell Rapid Lube. Highway 19, Crystal River. In only 15 minutes, professional mechanics use high-quality Mobile One products to provide your car engine with supreme power and protection. The 18-point visual inspection includes engine oil filter, battery terminals, air filter, transmission fluid, brake and clutch fluid, and much, much more. Mobile One Lube Express, Crystal River. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays, 8 to 3.
We all push our limits. Now, Mobile One Oil can push your oil change to 5,000 miles. That's right. The new blend of Mobile One Oil gives you an extra 2,000 miles between oil changes. That recommended 3,000-mile oil change is now 5,000 miles, saving you even more at Mobile One Lube Express, Highway 19, Crystal River. Mobile One Lube Express, Highway 19, Crystal River, helping you save money and push your limits on oil changes. Oil that lasts beyond 3,000 miles. Mobile One Lube Express, Highway 19, Crystal River. We'll be right back.
Going out of business sale?
Going, God.
I always wonder why people advertise to go out of business, but you never hear or see them advertise anywhere else any other time.
Who were they? I've never heard of them before.
Advertise now. You could save your business, gain new business, or thank the customers that you have. Advertising works. So why not let it work for you? With The Great Savings Magazine, it's one of the best ways to reach thousands of potential customers. Over 45,000 full-colored copies of The Great Savings Magazine, delivered right to the mailboxes of your potential customers. Guaranteed. For the best advertising rates and information, call Lance at 352-586-8926. Don't be a business that waits till it's too late, till you're going out of business to advertise. Do it now and see the results. With very little out-of-pocket costs to you. 352-586-8926. Call The Great Savings Magazine today. 352-586-8926.
Our life-sustaining star. The sun is now entering into a phase of increased solar activity. Those solar flares cause a thickening of our ozone layer, which at times causes radio signals to literally bounce off the layer and travel hundreds and sometimes thousands of miles from its local location. These occurrences are normal as our sun enters into the peak of the 11-year sunspot cycle in 2010. The results of this increased solar flare activity may cause power outages, cell phone dropouts, and radio and television station interference. So if you're listening to your local radio station and you hear another radio station on that same channel, just take comfort in knowing that more than likely it'll only last for several minutes. Just a friendly reminder from the fine folks from planet Earth, three clicks from the sun, in the Milky Way galaxy. Oh, and us here at Frank Talk 104.3 too. Now go have some fun.
The viewpoints expressed on Liberty Works Radio Network are not necessarily those of the network, its affiliates, or sponsors. This is Liberty Works Radio Network. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the second hour of the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. I am the agent for truth, Joe Bannister, your host. Websites are freedomabovefortune.com, agentfortruth.com, and I invite you to join my mailing list at freedomabovefortune.com by clicking on mailing list over in the left-hand side of the webpage. And as I promised this hour, we're going to have an attorney who has some information about the TSA, and he has some strong feelings. And so let's see how strong those feelings are. Mr. Beecraft, are you there with us?
Well, good morning, Mr. Bannister. It's good to hear your voice. I haven't seen you. Oh, golly, has it been a week? No, it's only been 6 days since I've seen you.
We see each other quite frequently over the last year. It's pretty cool. Must mean we're up to no good.
Yeah, last week at this time we were in Shreveport, Louisiana, trying to get the video rolling.
Yeah, the teleprompter.
Yeah,
We should have called President Obama and asked him how it works.
So, no name Jane told me that you've been talking about TSA. I just got here at the office a few minutes ago, and don't know what you've been covering during the course of the program, but it sounds like it's the TSA.
Yes, basically, you know, explaining, what the TSA claims that their mission is, also pointing out some anecdotal stories about how I don't think the TSA is adhering to its mission very well. And also, I had a caller named Mike who called in, and we just talked about how the mission creep seems to be very similar to the federal income tax. As far as these agents that think they can just do whatever they want, and they never looked at their own manual or the Constitution, and their supervisors seem to be basically lying to them about, you know, what the extent of their authority is. So you just got 50,000 TSA employees out there doing what their bosses tell them to do, and it might very well be illegal or unconstitutional.
Well, is this an entree to open up for a discussion on the TSA?
I absolutely. Now, I came across your the analysis that you did of the TSA I'd certainly like to point people to that and have you explain it, but you know, the floor is yours. I just, you know, I told the listeners that we'd have an attorney who understands about things like jurisdiction and authority and how they acquire, these agencies acquire that authority. So you have the floor, and we got about 10, 11 minutes until the next break.
Good enough. I think it's real important for people to look at the statutory and regulatory framework of all of this TSA activity. Now, Joe, let's go back to the days right after September 11th. The whole nation was, the air traffic was completely shut down. I recall that within, that week, right after planes were starting to fly again, I had to run up to Nashville to meet, you know, the airports here in Huntsville weren't open, but there was one that was, you know, I could have a client fly in and into Nashville. So I drove up there. And, of course, the airport was almost like a ghost town. And I parked right in front, and I had a guy to park my car for me. And when I looked at him, he was almost like a refugee right off of some Haitian boat that had landed on the shores here in America, you know, a couple of weeks before. He hardly spoke English. But from those days, you know, if you were traveling right after 9/11, say like, you know, a month or two afterwards, when the traffic was rolling again, I can remember going through some screening points where the airline employees, and this included the, you know, the flight attendants and the pilots, that, you know, they were sitting there and manning the scanners. And of course, over time, we've seen the growth from people that were just checking people randomly as we went through the airport, until they install the scanners. And now within the last year, we've had all this talk about the back scanners. One of the things that I think is real important is for people to actually take a look at the law that authorizes this. Now, let me kind of to tell you and our listeners something about what I believe as somebody that's studied the whole subject of control over airports by the federal government. Joe, let me ask you this question. Is there anything in the Constitution... of course, we didn't have airports and airplanes back in 1789. You don't find any mention of control over airports in the United States Constitution. The only basis to which you could do that would be through Congress's power over interstate commerce. But when you go back and take a look at how federal control over airports arose, when you get back in the 20s and the 30s, you begin to see, you know, when flights were, you know, more than just a novel inventions, and airlines were being formed, and, you know, the federal government was subsidizing air traffic by the mail service. You know, back in those days, you began to see treaties coming up. And, you know, by 1935, you see all these agreements between the United States, these treaties and other countries. And when you sit out and take a look at those old treaties, they outline exactly what you see in the airports today. And so I contend that there's a whole lot of control of the federal government by over airports through its treaty power rather than the interstate commerce power. Now, one of the reasons that I make this statement is, you know, years ago I happened to be in the Houston Hobby Airport, and this is, you know, this is 20 and 30 years ago before, you know, it was built up like it is today. But you could go through Hobby and just, you know, walk through the lobby there and, you know, see in the floor, you know, the of the airport, you know, this airport is controlled by the city of Houston. And it was just called the Hobby. But you could go across town to Intercontinental, and it was an international airport. Well, when I was growing up here in Huntsville, Alabama, we started building a new airport on the outskirts of Huntsville, and it was just called Huntsville Airport. But then, you know, about maybe 15 years ago, 20 years ago, the feds came in and provided money for the construction of new concourses. And, of course, you know, today we got Huntsville, Alabama is kind of a place where the airlines park their planes at night. You know, it's the end of the line. And, you know, they start out in the morning and take passengers from Huntsville to the hubs like Atlanta and Memphis and DFW. But when all this money came in from the feds to build a bigger airport for Huntsville, Alabama, suddenly the name of the airport changed to Huntsville International. So one, the reason I bring this up is to inform people that, you know, there is, in fact, a lot of people don't look into this area. There is, in fact, a treaty basis connection for the federal legislation that deals with control of, you know, American airports. You know, Huntsville International Airport, there isn't anything international about our airport. You know, we have no international flights. We, our longest connection would be to be through DFW. Yeah, but we all the flights connect through either Atlanta, Memphis, or DFW, and I think there might be some new flights we're getting straight into D.C.
Well, don't you have a foreign country right next to you in Louisiana?
Yeah, it could be. It is. You know, we were down there last week, and some of those folks speak French, you know.
I'm just kidding to all my Louisiana listeners, because Tom Cryer and Larry give each other a bad time about Alabama versus Louisiana.
Well, that's really a long, that's what we do in the fall. You know, down here in the South, you know, the fall is a real good sporting occasion. And, you know, I won't bring it up. There was a contest on November the 6th between some football team from Alabama and some football team from LSU. So, but, hey, I digress. Joe, the purpose of this program is for us to discuss something about TSA. Now, here's what I want our listeners to do. You know, I've got this information posted over on my website. A couple of weeks ago when I saw the building up of interest of, you know, listening to the radio and reading in the paper information about bringing in the scanners, the full-body scanners, and people were beginning to object. You know, one of the things that I found was people were not discussing the statutory foundation for all this. So I provided on my website a rudimentary basis for, a page by which people can, you know, read the page and then find links to the relevant laws, as well as, you know, I downloaded all the regulations that apply to TSA and control over airport screening points. And, you know, I combined all those regulations into one file. So now you can download everything. So here, this is what I'd like for people to do. My website is found. All you have to do is get into an internet search engine and type in BCraft Briefs. I can't give you the URL because it's kind of, you know, it's different. You know, it's up on my web server's website. But all you have to do is type in BCraft Briefs in the internet search engine.
Spell your last name, Larry.
Spelled, what?
Yeah, I was just going to say spell your last name to make
sure
people get
it. Okay, here we go. My last name is spelled BCraft, B-E-C, B as in boy, E-C-R-A-F-T, BCraft Briefs, like law briefs. And once you, you know, that'll pop up one of the first hits you get on an internet search engine, so you just go straight over to my website through that link. And when you get to my website, which is the Dixieland Law Journal, you'll find right underneath that very first line there, it says important information about the TSA. And click on that, and what I've done is I've linked the, you know, laws from this page. You can go straight into, by links that are provided on this page, you can go straight into the relevant law regarding TSA and these activities on American airports. I don't link all of the laws, you know, I link over to find law, and, you know, if you want to read more sections, you can click on a link that I've got here, and, you know, like 49 U.S.C. section 5103, and then you can go down to on find law, you can go down to the bottom of the page, and you can click on next, and it'll carry you to the next section in the U.S. Code. And, you know, it's very, very handy, but I've at least linked the ones, the code sections that I think are real, real important. And when you sit down and read this, you come up with some amazing things, which is some of the things we're going to talk about in a minute. But then in addition to providing links over to the relevant sections in the United States Code that relate to airport screening, I have also downloaded, you know, I went over to the official government website for the regulations, and I downloaded the PDF images for certain chapters of the regulations that relate to all this. And once you do that, this is what I like to do. I like to take regulations and just link them all together to create one file. You know, typically when you're going over to a government website and pulling up regulations, you can only get a page or two. Well, you know, I go through the laborious task of, you know, to downloading all these two, three, and four-page long sections of the regulations, and then I string them all together in one PDF file, and that enables you to check the whole, you know, do engage in word searches. You can read. You know, it's just a lot handier, at least from my viewpoint. It's a lot handier to have all the regulations in one spot. Now, here's the thing that I've come up with. You know, years ago, when scanners started coming into vogue, I mean, not scanners, but metal scanners, when they started coming about, you know, being implemented and placed into airports, you know, I ran over to Title 49 of the United States Code and started looking around. And, you know, I came away with this distinct impression. Gee, there's a whole lot that's missing statutorily. You know, the scheme in Title 49 of the United States Code, which is the transportation title, the scheme that you find out from reading the statutes is this, that TSA was created, you know, right after 9/11. It's an agency that's under the authority of an undersecretary in the Department of Transportation. And when you're looking through the statutes to see, gee, what authority has been statutory granted to either this undersecretary or the transportation or the TSA, one of the things I walk away with, you kind of scratch your head. Well, gee, where's any mention of you know, establishing and setting up what we see in the airports? And the thing that I find amazing is you walk away with, well, there's a huge gap here. And Joe, I hear the message, I hear the music coming on, so we're going to have a break, and let's pick up with this after we come back.
That'd be great. It's the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. It's Joe Bannister, your host. Our guest is attorney Larry Becraft, and we're going to talk about that huge gap when we come back. Thanks for joining us.
Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala holds a reputation for the most outstanding sales and service to their customers. This reputation was earned over the years by keeping their promises and taking care of people. It was true then, and it's true now. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to ensure you the easiest and most satisfying vehicle purchase or service you'll ever experience while delivering the highest value for the money. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to have access to over 850 new Fords and Lincoln Mercurys to provide a wide selection of new cars and trucks, which means large savings for their customers. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to have you the lowest price and payment in writing guaranteed in 15 minutes or less. Visit their dealerships on Highway 441 in Ocala and Bellevue to see for yourself the distinctive advantage in making your next vehicle purchase from the dealership that pledges to ensure the best buying experience anywhere. You can also shop at home at fordofocala.com for selection and service specials that is constantly updated. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala, where they pledge every day is a sale day and the traffic's not bad at all.
I feel sick. Do you feel twisted up when you get your cell phone bill?
Not anymore.
Unlimited talk, internet, text, and the exclusive instant walkie-talkie feature from Boost Mobile for just $50 a month.
Only at Lakeview Cellular in the Hernando Shopping Plaza on Highway 200 and Route 41.
$50 a month with no hidden fees and no contracts. Plus, no credit checks.
Lakeview Cellular, the official home of Boost Mobile.
Boost Mobile works off the Nextel networks to provide you with the most comprehensive coverage at the best price on your monthly cell service. The all-new Lakeview Cellular in the Hernando Plaza in Hernando.
Or give them a call at 352-344-0100.
Come see us now. Pay your cell bill. Shop for a new phone. And now for only $40 a month, get unlimited internet service on your laptop or home PC with Lakeview Cellular's Virgin Mobile Internet Air Card.
Lakeview Cellular in the Hernando Shopping Plaza on Highway 200 and Route 41. Hernando. Call 352-344-0100. The official home of Boost Mobile.
Remember the good old days when you'd go to the neighborhood butcher, he'd cut the meat fresh, right on the slab. You'd ask him for a steak cut a special way, he'd cut it. You're looking for some homemade sausage, and you'd get it. Chopped meat, right out of the grinder. Well, Bellevue Meats is the place to go. Their number is 347-2102. They're located in Bellevue, right on 441. For meat the old-fashioned way, Bellevue Meats.
Are you concerned about the side effects of using hormonal birth control? Look into a natural method of family planning that's 99% effective, environmentally green, and causes no risks to your health. For information on learning natural family planning in English or Spanish through classes or home study, see the Couple to Couple League's website at ccli.org or call 800-745-8252.
The only thing I like more than chocolate is free chocolate. Yeah, free chocolate. Life is sweet. At Donnell and Forest, Highway 41, across from the police department. For a limited time only, receive Harry London's gourmet chocolate. When you mention 104.3 FM, Donnell and Forest, fantastic flower arrangements at incredible prices. And now, free gourmet chocolate. Life is sweet. At Donnell and Forest, Highway 41. We're sweet on you because, you know, we make sense.
With purchase of a cooler, great.
In a bold move today, President Obama announced he will try to negotiate with the raging wildfire, which has so far burned over 14,000 acres. The president is confident he can convince the flames to stop incinerating everything in their path.
The president plans to make the wildfire understand that our difficulties are shared difficulties, that it's not man against fire, but man and fire working out their differences.
This fire has burned over 300 homes so far. It's growing larger by the hour. What is Obama's strategy?
Well, look, you know, previous administrations have immediately resorted to putting wildfires out, but this is a different president. He just didn't think that a combative approach with hoses and axes would be the best way to solve this crisis.
But Jason, so far, the fire has refused to acknowledge any of the overtures the president has made.
Yes.
Obama sent a letter requesting it cease its destruction, and the fire apparently incinerated it without even reading
it. That's true. But, I mean, look, politically, this is a stroke of genius, I think. I mean, the most powerful man in the world is offering an olive branch to this petulant fire,
yes.
And the fire looks pretty bad here, childish. I mean, you know, as Obama has said himself numerous times, if he wanted to, he could talk to the clouds and get them to unleash a great rainstorm upon the wildfire.
Uh-huh.
But that's not this president.
Frank Talk, Waffle, News, Sports, and More, the official home of
Great Waffle. Frank Talk, 104.3 FM, the Mid-State News Talk and Sports Radio Station.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Gentlemen and ladies, welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, your host. AgentForTruth.com and FreedomAboveFortune.com are the websites. I would invite you to join my mailing list at FreedomAboveFortune.com over there on the left-hand side. Also, AgentForTruth.com, I'll try to get some links up to this information that Larry's talking about. But again, going to any search engine and typing in Becraft Briefs, B-E-C-R-A-F-T, and then Briefs as in legal briefs, B-R-I-E-F-S, you can get to this information. This is a great service that Larry's doing to bring this information to us in a point-and-click fashion. Before the break, Larry was talking about the huge gap, and I'm sure he was very surprised to see a huge gap in what the TSA does on a daily basis versus what's shown up in the statutory law. And, of course, that's the same kind of huge gap that I encountered when I was investigating the IRS and the federal income tax. So I do say that facetiously, Larry. You were not surprised at all, were you?
No. Joe, years ago, when they set up the metal scanners, just out of curiosity, I went over to take a look at the law and the regulations on this point. And, you know, then I saw, you know, there's something missing here. You know, I thought it would be different. But, you know, I didn't do anything about it. But now that they're up to the point where they're bringing in the full-body scanners and there's a whole lot of public reaction and objection to the full-body scanners, you know, that caused me here within the last month to say, hey, I'm going to take a little closer look at this. And that's the reason why I put up, you know, just this kind of a short, simple little page on my website that provides the links to the statutes that we're talking about. But one of the things that impresses me, you know, now I'm going back through and looking at it, you know, when you're examining the activities of federal agencies in other fields, you know, you can kind of follow. You'll find a statute that says, you know, the agency can do this and the agency can do that. And one of the things that I'm surprised by when, you know, I sit down and really take a cold, hard look at what's going on in reference to full body scanners, you know, this is the picture that I see just from reading the statutes. You know, they sit there and say that TSA can contract with airport authorities and it can contract with various airlines, you know, to deal with this subject of airport screening and security. and you see that the statutes seem to be directed toward primarily the airlines and the airport authorities, and they don't really descend to, you know, dealing with the activities of TSA at these security points. And when you get down to the point of, you know, using body scanners, Joe, let me refer back to my page on my website, and I'm going to pull up 49 USC section 44925. And it is titled Deployment and Use of Detection Equipment at Airport Screening Points. But when you get out and read that, you know, the only thing that is provided here is it says that, you know, this agency can enter into and submit to Congress plans for setting up this stuff. Well, okay, you know, there's statutory authority for the Secretary of Homeland Security to develop a strategic plan for deployment and use of explosive detection equipment at airport screening checkpoints. But then when you read the statute, you know, I'm saying, well, if there's this gap in legal authority for the implementation of this program, there must be some effort to establish this program through the rulemaking authority of the Secretary of Homeland Security or somebody that's in his office. But when you sit down and you take a look at the regulations, you know, what I find is that, you know, the general theme that I walk away with when you read the regulations is the TSA shall implement these programs with, you know, the airport authorities and air carriers, but there's a big gap. I don't see anything in all of this, reading the regulations, that specifically sets up an airport security screening program. And, you know, that leads me to the conclusion that, you know, there's a lot that is being hidden from the traveling public by the TSA. You know, there is no requirement in the regulations that anybody shall be scanned. You know, where is this authority for somebody that works for the government to force people through a screening program? It isn't there. And, you know, that creates a real problem for me. When you deal with the Administrative Procedures Act, that's found in Title 5 of the United States Code, starting in Section 552, you know, quite often Congress passes laws that enable some public official, well, here, you know, we've enacted this law and we're giving rulemaking authority to, you know, this public official. But then when the public official is implementing the authority that he has, and dealing with specifically the implementation of some program, what he has to do, according to the Administrative Procedures Act, is come out with proposed regulations. And then once you issue in the Federal Register proposed regulations, then you have a certain period of time in which the American public, you know, having been given notice through the publication of proposed rules in the Federal Register, then the members of the American public have the opportunity to send in objections to those regulations. And once you get objections to regulations, you know, then there's a requirement to have a full hearing on the matter, you know, probably in Washington, D.C. Now, let me give you something, an experience that I've had with something that is relevant, directly connected to this particular issue. Joe, years ago, it was back in the late 90s, I remember, and this is a little project that a friend of mine and I carried out. The Treasury Department came out with some regulations about Know Your Customer. And about the same time, the Department of another government agency came out with something that related to national IDs. And a friend of mine, Scott McDonald, he had a website called Fight the Fingerprint, and he found out about these new regulations that were being proposed for dealing with, you know, Scott. And Scott's position was, gee, this is a creation of, a national driver's license program, national ID program. And I sat down and I read the proposed regulations. I said, whoa, you know, I don't particularly like this. So what we did is we set up a website, and we gave the people something they could do rather than something they couldn't. You know, we explained, hey, all we're trying to do is to get a whole bunch of people to object to these regulations, these proposed regulations. And so over a period of, you know, there was something like a 45-day comment period, or maybe a 90-day. I forgot the specific, you know, it's been 13 or 14 years ago. But there was a certain time frame, and we, through this website, we said, hey, people, you know, here's the problem. We need a whole bunch of people to object to these regulations. And back in those days, all of the objections were posted on the Internet. And so we would send out emails and would say, hey, you know, go over to this website. You can copy the, you know, we had some suggested objections people could make. And since I could see the objections posted on the Internet by, I think it was, the Department of Transportation, you know, I saw that a lot of people were spending 5 minutes to copy stuff that we had posted on our website and print out a letter and send it to the address that we provided. You know, it was just a 5-minute or 10-minute little, you know, that's all the effort that was involved. And I slowly watched over the rest of the comment period. I slowly watched. First there were 200 objections and 400 objections. And the next thing I know, there was 1,000 objections. And I said, whoa, we're having an impact. And by the end of the comment period, my recollection is that we'd persuaded about 3,400, 3,500 people to send in objections to to these regulations. And I remember, you know, I tried to read as many as I possibly could. And I only found two favorable comments about the regulations, and they were written by people that work for state agencies. Oh, these are good regulations, blah, blah, blah. The rest of the comments were from, you know, average, ordinary, everyday Americans, and a lot of them were sending in exactly what we told them to send in, and others were, you know, just angry diatribes. You know, just angry people. You know, you people can go take a flying leap off a bridge. You know, that was the character of some of the objections that we were able to get. Well, as a result of our public opposition, the regulations were withdrawn. So we defeated the beginning regulations for the national ID. Well, then about 6 or 8 months later, that's when the Treasury Department came along with the Know Your Customer regulations. And again, we started a little project to do the same thing. Well, a lot of people by this time had seen what we had done, and a bunch of other organizations climbed on board, and they said, hey, let's object to these Know Your Customer regulations. Well, about that same time frame, it was probably about 98 or 99, I had a trial up in Cheyenne, Wyoming. It was kind of a long 2 or 3 week trial, and I remember one day at lunchtime, we were leaving the courthouse and going over to this little restaurant across the street. And I remember reading the headlines of the local Cheyenne, Wyoming newspaper. You know, I looked in the, you know, here was a local paper. When you walk into a restaurant, you can get a copy. And I looked at the front cover of the page, and it said something like 200,000 objections had been submitted to the Know Your Customer regulations. So, you know, our little effort played a role in, you know, waking up Americans. And in conjunction with a whole bunch of other organizations, you know, just by doing something simple, writing in and objecting to the regulations, we were able to stop that program. Well, I bring all of this up for this purpose. You know, what we have here in the TSA regulations, which are available over at that website, that page on my website that we're talking about, you can download those regulations and read them. Look through there. Where has the TSA, you know, through the rules that they have already implemented, where do they set up anything about this screening point for American airports, you know, that compels all Americans in the American traveling public to go through the body scanners. There's nothing there. And so what we have is we've got, if these people that we see at the airports, these TSA people that are wearing official uniforms that look like they work for the TSA, if they're not private contractors, if they're government employees, they're implementing some program that we can't find anything about in the regulations. And to me, that's a big problem for the TSA. I think the American people need to be making objections to the TSA. What's your authority? You know, there is nothing in the regulations that say anybody entering an American airport and going to walk down some concourse to his particular departure plane, it has to pass through an airport screening station. You know, it isn't there.
Okay, we got a break, but I'd like to clarify what you're saying for the listeners after the break. Very good presentation, Larry. We've got one more segment coming up in this hour. This is the Freedom Above Fortune radio show, freedomabovefortune.com. Our guest is attorney Larry Beecraft, and we'll be right back. Thanks for joining us.
Frank Talk, 104.3 FM, the Mid-State News Talk and Sports Radio Station.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lori London. Finding closure in Afghanistan, it appears NATO leaders are on the same page as they whittle away a way forward at a NATO summit in Portugal. Fox Radio's Alistair Wanklin is live in Lisbon.
That's right, Laurie. NATO nations agreeing to hand over Afghan security from next year, but
if the Taliban or anyone else aims to wait us out, they can forget it.
NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen saying training is the ticket to transition 4 years from now. But a senior Obama administration official has just been quoted saying no decision has yet been taken on ending the combat mission. Laurie?
Alistair, new airport screening procedures continue rubbing some the wrong way. Some travelers even organizing an opt-out day on Wednesday to try to slow down the holiday rush. But not every passenger has a problem with it.
How can you possibly live in this country and have gone through 9/11 and not say this is a good thing?
Pilots have been given a reprieve. They'll just have to present photo IDs. Gas levels and risk of a second explosion still keeping rescuers out of a coal mine in New Zealand where 29 men are still missing.
All day today, they've been carrying out tests on the quality of the air within the mine. They've been checking to see whether carbon monoxide levels are going to be decreasing sufficiently to allow them to start sending people in to look for the 29 miners. But those readings have not given them any hope of encouragement.
Sky News reporter Ian Woods' repeated attempts to make contact have been fruitless. Well, the manhunt continues for a suspect in the shooting of a Utah Parks police officer near Moab, Utah. Officials say they found the gunman's car and they believe he fled on foot. They're now searching in a rugged canyon along the Colorado River. The wounded officer is in critical condition. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
What's wrong with working hard to make our lives and our kids' lives better? Nothing. At Fox Business, we don't have a problem with success. We have a very big problem with those who get in the way of it. We don't come out of the box bashing those who make money, just the politicians stealing it and the bureaucracies wasting it. We're not just sitting behind a desk. We're out in the field, on the floor, with the folks. Because when a story moves forward, so do we.
Fox Business, the power to prosper. Check your local listings.
As Americans, no matter what our faith, we have faith in our country. A country where our freedoms are blessed, cherished, and protected. Where we believe life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are our inalienable rights. Rights endowed by our Creator. We are not afraid to believe. Our beliefs unite us as a people and as a nation. They allow us to move forward.
Toyota's efforts to get some lawsuits dropped stall. The federal judge handling lawsuits against Toyota from owners who claim the cars have sudden acceleration defects has refused to dismiss the cases. Toyota says the plaintiffs haven't proved that a design defect is responsible for the vehicles taking off unexpectedly. However, the judge, in a tentative ruling, says the lawsuits can move forward and he expects to issue a final ruling within a week. Over the past year, Toyota has recalled millions of cars for floor mat, gas pedal, and brake software issues. Jennifer Kuiper, Fox News Radio.
Fundamental to national security, how the president describes the need for a nuclear arms reduction deal with Russia and scolding Republicans for stalling.
There's enough gridlock, enough bickering. If there is one issue that should unite us, as Republicans and Democrats, it should be our national security.
The president in his weekly address, but Republicans have their attention on soon-to-expire Bush-era tax cuts.
Time is running out, but it's not too late for both parties to work together and prevent this massive tax hike from going into effect.
Senator Mitch McConnell with a weekly GOP address accusing Democrats of wasting time. In the foreclosure fiasco, an Illinois sheriff who halted evictions a month ago forced to resume them.
Cook County Sheriff Tom Dark got a lot of attention last month when he stopped carrying out evictions after it surfaced that bank employees hadn't been following proper procedures, and in some cases there had been so-called robo-signing of notices by bank employees who hadn't bothered to read the paperwork. Well, now Dark says he's been told by prosecutors that he's legally bound to carry out eviction orders signed by a judge. He says fine, but it'll be done in a thoughtful way, that he's still investigating bank action. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Well, an overbearing mom in the kitchen could produce overweight kids. That from a new study in the Journal of the American Dietetic Association, which finds mothers who pressure their children to eat more may end up with more fussy eaters. I'm Lori London, Fox News Radio.
Frank Talk, 104.3 FM, the Mid-State News Talk and Sports Radio Station.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, Agent for Truth, agentfortruth.com and freedomabovefortune.com. Our guest is attorney Larry Becraft, and he is just astounding me, as well as my producer Jane, and I hope hopefully the listeners as well, that he's been hunting through the federal laws and can't seem to find any authority, any law that was passed that allows TSA, these TSA agents, to do this shakedown that they do at these airports. And so what I wanted to just clarify before the break, you know, just for a layman like myself, and hopefully help the listeners, is, Larry, are you saying that you looked for a statute, you know, which would be a law passed by Congress, and you looked in the regulations which govern TSA conduct, and you found no authority, let alone a mention of them being able to do the kind of searches that they do and pass you through a body scanner?
The closest thing I find to anything about the body scanners and what are they called, backscatters or something like that, The closest I can find is that section I was talking about, 44.925. But when you sit down and you read 49 United States Code, section 44.925, which is linked over on my website, you know, of course, if you don't like the, you know, just having what I posted there, you know, once you get over into, you know, the 44.900 series of code sections, you can go down to the bottom. And on Find Law, they have this little feature, click Next, and it'll carry you over to the next code section. So, you know, if you're 44903, you can click on Next, and it'll carry you over to 44904, and then on that page, click Next, and it'll carry you over to section 44905. But what I find is, you know, the closest we have to, you know, anything that says, you know, there's no law that sits there and says, oh, you know, the TSA has the authority to set up screening points at American airports and screen all potential passengers. That's not there. When you get over to 44925 in Title 49, which is linked over on that page that we're talking about on my website, read it. You know, TSA must give a report to Congress, you know, the appropriate congressional committee. They don't even tell you which committee it is. It's just whatever the appropriate committee is. They shall give a report to Congress. Okay, so that, there you have it. That's the closest that they come. So, you know, you got to have a string of authority down to what they're doing at the airports. Well, where is that string of authority? You know, there should be something, like I've mentioned, there should be a Section 44932, subparagraph B, paren B, that says, you know, the TSA or the undersecretary for TSA shall erect in all American airports by July 1st of 2010 passenger security points, and he shall install these body scanners over the next 12 months, and they shall all be installed by July 1st of 2011, and all airport passengers are required to pass through these security points and be cleared.
So, Larry,
gotta walk
are you
through these body scanners?
That are you telling
there.
Me? Are you telling it me that the emperor
has no clothes?
The emperor that wants to get us as if we have no clothes,
right?
See us as if we have no clothes, has no clothes.
Well, Joe, it's not there.
You know, tell me, Larry.
That's the reason why I provided these links there. You know, everybody is now. We got a movement in this country. You know, for whatever, you know, it comes up at a very appropriate time. You know, they're bringing in these body scanners, and, you know, some people, I don't know whether this is true or not. I kind of believe it. You know, Joe, do you know that this is a little-known fact? But in the last couple of months, I just read some articles about microwave ovens. And I learned that when microwave ovens were being installed in the airport, I mean, not airports, but in restaurants, you know, 20 and 30 years ago, you'd have people, you know, you can, when the microwave oven is going, you can sit there and look inside. I've looked inside a number of times. But did you know that restaurant employees that would sit there and look at the, you know, cooking inside of a microwave oven, you know, you had young people years ago that were getting cataracts. You know, just from the radiation off of a microwave oven. Now the American people are they really going through something that's harmful? I don't know. You know, I have prior experience. I've read information that I think is perfectly valid, that microwave ovens were giving people cataracts. And then, of course, we walk into, you know, these little concession stands where microwave ovens are in operation. They say, hey, stay 6 feet away from this microwave oven if you got a pacemaker or something like that. So we know that microwave ovens are, you know, more than what I've said right now, are harmful. And, you know, I'm getting to where I don't want to have anything to do with a microwave oven. I know from my mother back in the mid-'80s, she was treated for breast cancer with radiation. She was fried. She died from receiving radiation from the breast cancer treatment. Well, now we're sending people through, you can sit there, and I've seen on the internet these pictures of people going through body scanners. Looks like to me an x-ray. Well, are people being exposed to x-rays? We don't know. You know, I go into the airport, and, you know, I take off my shoes and take out my computer and put it in a little bag, and, you know, I make myself as efficiently as I possibly can to minimize the time I spend in the airport screening area. You know, I only use one little tray, and I load my coat and my boots and my computer case all in one little spot, so on the other side I can grab everything and run. How much these people that are sitting there in front of an x-ray, you know, you got to know that it's an x-ray that they're using to, you know, to shoot through and get images of your computer, everything that goes through that scanner, that's x-ray. And yet, you know, when you go to a dentist's office, you know, we've always sat in the dentist's office, and, you know, for a millisecond, you know, they'll expose you with radiation, but, you know, they give you a lead covering over your chest. And the technician that's going in the dentist's office is going to be giving an x-ray to you to get these little pictures of your teeth. You know, they step out of the room. And yet you have people that are 40 hours a week, eight hours a day, or maybe 10 hours a day. They're sitting there in front of that. They got a little computer screen, and they're, you know, running all this, the luggage that everybody's carrying on to a plane. They're running that through an x-ray, and we're not being told to step away from it. And the only thing you have is those little rubber, you know, little rubber cover that's, you know, I don't know how effective that is. Since it's rubber, I would think that x-rays go right through that. When you're standing in front of the x-ray machine, there's got to be a whole lot of radiation that escapes out of the ends. And who knows how much is escaping right through those little, you know, flimsy, almost plastic covers that they have for these x-ray machines. And yet you have some technician, some alleged TSA employee sitting there within, you know, a half a foot or maybe a foot away from a radiation source that is taking pictures of all that luggage. That's got to be harmful. And then people through body scanners that produce an image that looks like an x-ray to me, looks like to me that these are high radiation areas.
And I'd like to pose a couple questions to you, Larry, because you're absolutely right as far as the dangers of this. Number one, you know, with your experience, I want to get you to tell the listeners, since you can't find any legal authority for these people to be doing what they're doing by the, you know, thousands every day in America, what is their purpose? What are they telling people? Have they just never been asked what your authority is? Why are they able to get away with this?
Well, I think we're going through a time in American history when there is enough outrage about what the government is doing that people are beginning to wake up out of their slumber, and they're actually exercising the powers of the people to object.
And are you saying that because of that slumber that the government would actually install this entire apparatus and not have any authority to do it, and just think that the American people are just not going to notice?
Haven't until now. And the first time, it's only been in the Joe here in the last couple of weeks that people have been concerned about TSA. Now they're going to install the body scanners. Well, now that's causing people to wake up. Well, now that they're beginning to wake up, and, you know, I bet I get at least 40 or 50 emails per day where somebody's making some comment about TSA and the body scanners. Well, so people are beginning to wake up. Well, I'm glad. I do think that people need to sit down and read the laws and the regulations, and that now that they're awake, maybe they'll pay something to this important legal matter. Where is the authority for all of this activity that we see at the airport? I find none.
Okay, now, so then I have another question, because there's a guy named John Tyner, and you may have heard of him in San Diego. He lives in Oceanside, and he was flying out of the San Diego airport, and he resisted. He said, "You're not going to."
And then he walked away. That guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
well,
the TSA.
If they bring criminal charges against him, and the situation you're talking about is this guy didn't want to go through a body scanner, and then when he refused both the pat down and going through the body scanner, they told him to leave. And then when he did in fact leave, you know, he was confronted as he left. You know, now the story I'm hearing is that they might want to fine him $11,000. Is that what you're talking about?
That's right.
Okay. Here's a real problem for the government in that type of a case. And this is just one of a series of cases on this point. Years ago, this is a case called Cox against Louisiana that went to the United States Supreme Court, you know, back during the Civil Rights era. You know, something happened in Louisiana that caused Reverend Cox and his followers to say, you know, we're gonna go down and have a protest at the county courthouse on a certain day. So, you know, early in the morning, you know, maybe it was a weekend, you know, the opinion doesn't tell you when it was. You know, let's presume that it was a weekend, a Saturday morning. So all these people a couple of blocks away from the courthouse assemble.
And you only got a minute and a half, Larry.
Okay, well, their purpose is to go down to the courthouse and protest. Well, they were told by the chief of police, you can't do that. And then the chief of police said, you can demonstrate across the street from the courthouse. Well, when Reverend Cox was prosecuted for that, the Supreme Court said, you're relying on the word of a public official, and then being prosecuted for relying on the word of the public official, that's a due process violation, and they dismissed the charges. So I think this Tyner fella has a perfect due process defense.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, then you answered that very concisely, as I knew you would. Well, any final thoughts? We only have about a minute to go. Let me just point out to everybody that you can go to any search engine and type in Becraft Briefs, B-E-C-R-A-F-T, Briefs, B-R-I-E-F-S, and that Larry's website will come up. It's the top item relating to TSA. It's really important that you go there and follow up on this discussion, because is this just like amazing news, thanks to Larry, to show us that this is truly, truly the emperor having no clothes, and yet this is all about clothing and privacy, and yet the emperor that's searching us is the one with no clothes. This is amazing. I hope to share this with other people, Larry, and try to get you on some other shows to expose this, because this is huge.
Yeah, it is. It is, Joe. But I hope the American people take this. You know, this is an opportunity that needs to be seized. And the American people need to exercise their inherent power to protest the government. Maybe we can have a peaceful revolution in this respect. And then the American people will see what we can do.
That'd be phenomenal. Well, Larry, thank you very much for joining us. Thanks to all the listeners. Please spread the word about this, and I'll join my email list so I can follow up with all these facts for you. And we'll see you all next week. Thank you very much. Have a good week and a good Thanksgiving. Bye-bye.
Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala holds a reputation for the most outstanding sales and service to their customers. This reputation was earned over the years by keeping their promises and taking care of people. It was true then, and it's true now. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to ensure you the easiest and most satisfying vehicle purchase or service you'll ever experience while delivering the highest value for the money. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to have access to over 850 new Fords and Lincoln Mercuries to provide a wide selection of new cars and trucks, which means large savings for their customers. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to have you the lowest price and payment in writing guaranteed in 15 minutes or less. Visit their dealerships on Highway 441 in Ocala and Bellevue to see for yourself the distinctive advantage in making your next vehicle purchase from the dealership that pledges to ensure the best buying experience anywhere. You can also shop at home at fordofocala.com for selection and service specials that is constantly updated. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala, where they pledge every day is a sale day and the traffic's not bad at all.
It's a little piece of paradise with the look and feel of the islands at the Plantation Tiki Bar just off Highway 19 on Fort Island Trail. If you haven't been to the Plantation Golf Resort and Spa recently,
you've been missing out on a terrific time. Come see us now.
For only $5, enjoy the Plantation Golf Resort and Spa, pool and poolside Tiki Bar. Plus your first $3 drink is on us and your kids get in for free. Wow, what a great time. The Plantation features weekend football poolside with two Tiki Bar flat screen TVs. So whether you're driving in from out of town or you're a local, be sure to make this weekend special for you and your family. Make plans to enjoy the Plantation Golf Resort and Spa. Fantastic pool, large hot tub with super high-powered jets. And the Plantation's famous poolside Tiki Bar. A welcomed relief to a stressful week. The Plantation Golf Resort and Spa. Just off Highway 19 on Fort Island Trail in Crystal River. It's a little piece of paradise with the look and feel of the islands.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
When we think of the word den, automatically you see a cozy room familiar to you, welcoming a safe place, like home or maybe a lion's den, a protected place, familiar, comfortable, just like the insurance den. Get to know the friendly folks at the den, the insurance den. Let the trusted professionals at the insurance den shop the best and most affordable deal for you to fill all of your insurance needs, from homeowners to boating, flood, and all of your business concerns, including full umbrella coverage protection. Once you become part of the den, you'll have comfort in knowing that you are fully protected with the most reputable companies and hands-on service from the insurance den. Don't don't renew your old policy until you contact the Den, the Insurance Den. Chances are we'll find you savings the others have missed. Call the Insurance Den now, 352-628-2331. That's 352-628-2331. InsuranceDenOnline.com. Our life-sustaining star. The sun is now entering into a phase of increased solar activity. Those solar flares cause a thickening of our ozone layer, which at times causes radio signals to literally bounce off the layer and travel hundreds and sometimes thousands of miles from its local location. These occurrences are normal as our sun enters into the peak of the 11-year sunspot cycle in 2010. The results of this increased solar flare activity may cause power outages, cell phone dropouts, and radio and television station interference. So if you're listening to your local radio station and you hear another radio station on that same channel, just take comfort in knowing that more than likely it'll only last for several minutes. Just a friendly reminder from the fine folks from planet Earth, three clicks from the sun, in the Milky Way galaxy. Oh, and us here at Frank Talk 104.3 too. Now go have some fun.
Miss the Giant going out of business sale.
Going out of business sale? Aw, too bad. What a shame. Who were they anyway? I've never heard of them before. Have you?
Don't know.
Don't be an unknown or unnoticed business. Stand out by advertising in the Great Savings Magazine. 352-586-8926. Sitting and waiting every day for people to call or walk through your door? Reach out and advertise so you, as a business, can stand out. Don't be a business that waits till it's too late, till you're going out of business. To advertise. Do it now. Advertise in the Great Savings Magazine and you'll see results. With the Great Savings Magazine, home delivered to over 45,000 potential customers.